The other thing was just sort of say, I am feeling embarrassed. And just sort of sitting in that feeling of embarrassment, like, what is this feeling? What can I learn from this feeling?
Hey there, I'm Julie. Welcome to Uncomfy, a podcast about sticking with moments that challenge us. We share the stories of real people in moments that challenge their perspective. And instead of getting angry or shutting down, they stuck with the discomfort. They stayed curious and open, and they're glad they did. We hope these stories inspire you to stick with it too, because there is so much to gain. New empathy, deeper relationships, more clarity about our own views. I'm glad you're here. Now, let's get uncomfy. Here is a story about dealing with disappointment differently. I'm joined by Sean Tucker. He's a professor of humanities at Elon University in North Carolina and author of a number of books, including Humility, A Practical Approach. Sean, welcome. It's great to have you.
It's great to be here.
So you heard an episode of Uncomfy, I take it, and
yes.
A pretty recent experience of your own jumped to mind. I'm so glad you reached out. Where should we start with your story?
Well, I really enjoy the podcast. And I enjoy how you address topics that are very serious and really difficult. And I have one that's not so serious, but difficult in its own sort of interesting, unique way. Over the summer, some people from our congregation that work at a charter school told me that the school needs someone to coach their middle school boys team. And I've played soccer my whole life. My kids play. They're all grown and out of the house now. But they needed help, and I was rather flattered that they would even ask me. So I decided to help out with the team. We had a couple of practices, and I was feeling pretty good. You know, I'd worked with them, and I'd coached, and so I was really excited about doing it. We went out to our first game. I thought they were well prepared, and they were not. They were not well prepared. It just felt like goal after goal after goal. And we didn't get mercied, which is when you score so many goals that they just sort of say, okay, everybody just needs to go home now. So we were sort of glad about that. But it was uncomfy.
Okay. So, I mean, nobody likes to lose. What about this felt like a turning point for you, though, or felt sort of more difficult than just like, oh, shoot, we lost?
Yeah. So, again, I've coached a lot of teams and played on a lot of teams, and you know, losing's just sort of part of what happens. These parents didn't know me. I didn't really know them. They'd sort of brought somebody on to coach. And you know, about the fifth goal or something, I felt really embarrassed. And I realized at that moment that there's lots of ways that I could get out of that feeling. The obvious way is to just get angry, and to just find someone, something to be upset about. That's just an easy way to not feel that discomfort. But the reality of this being middle school boys kept smacking me in the face. So getting angry about it, it just felt sort of foolish. This is middle school boys soccer. And so that, as tempting of a path as that was, it just seemed too ridiculous. The next thing is, who can I blame? Because blame becomes another sort of way to weasel out of feeling uncomfortable. And the only person to blame was me. And because I'm the coach, I'm the person who needs to understand my player's skills and what it is that I want done, and where, you know, how to put them in the place where we can be the most successful. And I had succeeded in failing to do all of those things, as attested by goal after goal after goal that kept going past my poor, hapless goalkeeper. But the other thing was just sort of say, I am feeling embarrassed. And just sort of sitting in that feeling of embarrassment, like, what is this feeling? What can I learn from this feeling? That's what I chose to do. Is like,
I'm just a
here.
Conscious choice. It's like, all right, we're losing. This is embarrassing.
This is embarrassing.
It's on me.
This is what embarrassment feels like. But then my next choice was, embarrassment is a tremendously selfish feeling, because if I'm sitting there feeling embarrassed, I'm not helping the boys. I'm not helping the team. I'm not helping the parents. I'm not helping anybody. So just sort of feeling that embarrassment and then sort of recognizing, okay, this is uncomfortable, but it's also pretty selfish. and I can weasel out of it by getting angry or blaming somebody, or I can just remember why I'm here, which is I get a chance to be with these young men and to help them develop some skills and to grow as people. We had a parents meeting. I told the parents this story about these two farmers, this farmer who has two farms. And one of the farms is smaller than the larger farms. He had some adolescent children. One summer, he put his adolescent children in charge of the smaller farm. His neighbor contacted him and said, "Hey, your kids are making this mistake. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. They're making a lot of mistakes." And the farmer listened to the neighbor, expressed his appreciation, said, "Thanks for looking out for them." But then said to the neighbor, "I'm raising children, not cows or chickens or corn." And so I told the parents, like, on the surface, this is about soccer. But what we're really about is about these young men and having them grow. And so, you know, I reminded myself that that's what this is all about. This is about them and their growth.
I guess the Hollywood influence in my mind is like expecting that they came back from the second half, you know, from halftime, and you'd given them this inspirational speech about growing men.
No.
And then they came back from behind.
No. And we did better in the second half. But I think that that's because the coach we were coaching against is wise enough to have his call off the dogs approach to playing. And so I think that he kind of reshuffled his team so that the second half was more competitive, which was this wonderful act of grace, which I will forever appreciate. So we did better in the second half, but, you know, not because of any sort of inspirational speech or anything like that.
So what is it that came for you then of just sitting with the embarrassment? I mean, was it in the sticking with that embarrassment that you were able to kind of have the time to see the silliness of the situation and kind of...
Part of it was that, but there was another part too. Because when the game got over, there were lots of things that I could have said to the parents, which really would have kind of been begging them to kind of reassure me. You know, just some things that's just a little bit sort of self-pitying or something, that so they would say, "Oh, don't worry about it. You did a good job." You know, just something like that, which, again, to use the same word, is just sort of a way to weasel out of that uncomfortable feeling and to seek their validation because this had been, you know, because this had been so embarrassing. And I was like, no, that's not what they want. That's not what the boys want. That's not what the parents want. They want someone who's just going to be a leader, someone that they don't have to hold up. And so setting aside the sort of easy comfort of external validation and sort of staying in the uncomfortable, I'm just going to have to learn from this experience, grow from this experience, and just self-validate, just sort of say, I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to try to be more successful in the future and putting these boys in position so that they can do their best.
I love it. You introduced this story as, you know, being not that serious, not that heavy of a topic, right? But it's also so relatable. And that's, I think that these moments, they really do happen. Sometimes they're just a flash. And if you miss it, you're going to immediately do the thing to get out of the discomfort and kind of just go into your routine. And you might have missed an opportunity for some kind of growth or learning, because our default really is like, how do I get comfortable? This is not cool. And I don't want to put too much sort of weight on this as like, you know, so how did it change your life? Right. But connect the dots a little bit for me. You're a humanities professor. You've also written this book about humility. Does that experience in some way represent something bigger for you?
Yeah. So when I wrote my book on humility, one of the things that I was talking about is, I mean, humility is obviously understanding our weaknesses. But for me, humility is also choosing what it is that we're going to put first in our life. And for me, there's like these three steps, and they all start with H. The first step when we have an uncomfortable situation is to be honest, like honest about what we're feeling, what we see. And so for example, I tell a story about when I went to, my daughter and her husband bought a house, and I was really excited for them. And also I was really jealous of them, which is pretty pathetic. But you know, he works in computer science, and he makes quite a bit more money than I do. And you know, that's not difficult at all. I'm real excited for them 100%. But I was pretty jelly. when I walked into their house. And then I just sort of laughed at myself, you know, but at that moment, just sort of being honest, was like, no, I'm feeling jealous and this is why this is. But then my second step that I try to do is humor. I try to laugh at the situation. I find that like really seeing the situation and seeing it for what it is can often sort of create a space, and that laughing at the situation helps me to create space. And then with that space, I get to choose how I'm going to respond to the situation. So I try to be honest about it, but then I try to laugh at it. And then after I laugh at it, I try to say, okay, what really matters in this situation? What should I really be focused on? What is it that I should put first in this circumstance? And, you know, sometimes it's my own ego and sort of protecting that, but, you know, I always know that that's going to be sort of a cheap answer. But if I say, okay, no, these boys and their growth is what matters. These parents having a coach that they don't have to prop up, that matters to me.
So what's the third H?
So the third H is humility. That's what humility is that sort of allowing ourselves to worship and to put first what is the really the most important thing. I mean, in our lives, ultimately, it's, you know, you are the Lord, my God, which is that sort of, you know, that sort of humility. But then humility in other sort of situations is like, what is it that really is the most important?
Sean Tucker is a professor of humanities at Elon University, and the book he's talking about there is called Humility, A Practical Approach. Sean, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. It hasn't been uncomfy at all.
I'm so glad to hear it. And thank you for getting uncomfy with us today, too. It's been great having you along. What is a stick with it experience you've had lately? They happen all the time in our lives, large or small, and I'd love to hear how it goes for you. Send an email to uncomfy@byu.edu or find us on social media. We'd love to feature you on the podcast. And by the way, Sean Tucker mentioned the role humor can play in giving us a bit of space to respond with humility to an uncomfortable situation. And that made me think about a recent episode we did over on my other podcast, Top of Mind, all about the power of humor to do a lot of really interesting things that kind of surprised me, were a little challenging for me to be able to accept. So give that a listen. You can find Top of Mind on all the podcast apps. Uncomfy is a BYU radio podcast. Samuel Benson produces it, and the team includes Enrique Prado, James Hoops, and Sam Payne. Our theme music was composed by Kelsey Ney. I'm Julie Rose. I can't wait to get uncomfy with you again next week. Hey friends, it's Julie. I want to tell you about another show I'm really enjoying right now. It's called Kaboom. It's an audio adventure podcast, also from BYU Radio, and it is for the whole family to enjoy together. Every episode features a new adventure with sound effects and professional voice actors. Whether it's a teleportation experiment gone wrong, or an ancient Viking curse wreaking havoc on the high school football team, or a baby dragon hiding in the attic, Kaboom is such a fun listen. It is perfect for chore time, road trips, maybe even bedtime if it doesn't get your kids too amped up. And the best part is that every episode includes some subtle life lessons, insights that you can discuss with your kids. So subscribe to Kaboom on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.